The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to talk about celiac disease because May is Celiac Awareness Month, and with me to discuss are Sarah Keogh, dietitian and nutritionist with the Celiac Society of Ireland, and Marina Corrigan, who was diagnosed with celiac disease some years ago. Marina and Sarah, you're both very welcome. Sarah, what is it?
So celiac disease is an autoimmune disease where the body's attacking itself. And in the case of celiac disease, it does it when it's exposed to gluten. And gluten is a protein that you find in wheat, rye and barley. So it's a lifelong condition. People often think that it's a fad, which is the real irritating thing for a lot of people who are celiac.
I'm a bit celiac.
Yeah, you know, it was a huge fad to be gluten free there a few years ago, and I think a lot of people think you're just being difficult. Whereas it's actually quite a serious autoimmune disease, especially if it's not treated. It can have big long term effects.
And so you say you're born with this, is it?
No. So what you are is you will be born with the genes to get it, and actually about a third of people in Ireland will have the genes for it, but then it needs a trigger. Now, we don't know what the trigger is. There's a lot of speculation around gut bacteria, fibre, all kinds of things, but we don't know. But once it is triggered, it then very definitely runs in families.
And when does that trigger usually get pulled?
Any age? You can be diagnosed at a year, you can be diagnosed in your 80s. So the peak age for being diagnosed at the moment is between 40 and 60. But a lot of those people have been celiac most of their lives and only just picked up in their 40s or 60s.
So there maybe was food that they would have described as maybe disagreeing with them, or that they just naturally stayed away from?
A lot of people don't connect the food. One of the problems with celiac disease is historically it would have been seen as a whole lot of diarrhea and weight loss and in children. But now we know that that's the really severe presentation of it, but you can have constipation, that is celiac disease. You can have bloating, you could have diarrhea twice a month, and that's celiac disease. But where it might pick up then is it can also affect your nervous system, which I find a lot of people don't know. So about a third of celiacs will have nervous system involvement, and that can cause low mood, so depression and anxiety. It can cause migraine, big cause of migraine. It can actually damage the nervous system to the extent that people lose the ability to walk, and then they'll recover once they're on the gluten-free diet. Then you can have the rash, so a really itchy skin rash that turns up usually on the outside of both elbows or the outside of both knees. But the long term is the issue. There's more osteoporosis, there's more infertility, repeated miscarriage, increased bowel cancer. So we really want to find celiacs and get them diagnosed.
And is there a reason that it mostly manifests, or it mostly gets diagnosed between the ages of 40 and 60?
It's the time when people have kind of... It might have just been triggered at that age, but it's often people might have had it for years, and they might be kind of, you know, you might be going to the doctor with a bit of tummy trouble for years and years and years, and finally you go, I am sick of this, the doctor kind of goes, fine, let's check this. Or suddenly, finally, the iron goes low. And that's another one. So when the iron goes down, that would be another trigger for a lot of people to suddenly get checked for it.
And so what did you say? About a third of people in Ireland will have the gene.
How
many people will have had that gene triggered? What's the numbers?
The last data we have is 1.7 in 100. We reckon it's 1 in 50.
All right, okay.
People have it. So it's really quite common, but 75% are undiagnosed. So that's about 78,000 people in Ireland with celiac disease don't know they have it.
And is the rate of celiac disease higher in Ireland?
No.
Is it not? Because often in island populations, isn't it? You get higher rates.
Very much it was thought it was Ireland, but it seems that despite we're missing so many people, we seem to be slightly better at picking it up than a lot of other countries.
Okay.
But it turns out to be the same. And it's actually so high around Europe that Italy this year have started screening every single school child in Italy for celiac disease. They're the first country to really recognise it as being as serious as it is, and they're going looking for it now.
So I mentioned Marina Corrigan, who's with us as well. So Marina, can you tell us a little bit about your journey, if we'll describe it that way? I mean, when did problems first start?
To be honest, I didn't have that many problems. I was relatively asymptomatic, so I didn't have any of the typical symptoms that we just mentioned. And I was anemic, but I didn't even realise I was anemic initially. I just had a little bit of cracking at the side of my lips, which I wasn't aware was a sign of anemia, but I was chatting to my sister and a friend who are doctors, and they said to me, this can be a sign of anemia and you should get a celiac test done, because my twin sister had just been diagnosed with celiac disease within the last year or two. And I didn't even realise at that stage that there was a genetic tendency to it. So I thought, oh well, that's a shame for her, but little realising that I was going to be following on with the same shortly afterwards. So I got tested and the test was positive that stage. That was a blood test, and then I went to have a scope done and a biopsy, and that was also positive. So I started on gluten-free diet that stage, and I was in my 30s when I was diagnosed. And I didn't notice too much difference when I changed to the gluten-free diet, because I really didn't have that many symptoms initially.
Yeah.
But I'm aware that it's great for your long-term health to stick to it. So I've been on a gluten-free diet ever since.
And how awkward has it been to follow that diet?
It has its moments when it's pretty awkward. So if you're at home and you're fairly well prepared, it's not really a problem. You can have the stuff that you want at home. You can prepare it at home, no problem. It's travelling and eating out that really are the bigger issues. And you know, for my daughter now, who's diagnosed at school and things like that, if they're going away. So I find if you're abroad, some countries are better than others. France, for example, is really not great for looking for gluten-free food. Italy, where, and you would think it would be terrible because of pizza and pasta, you'll get gluten-free options in lots of places there, actually. So it varies quite a lot. And there's good sort of Facebook support groups that will tell you if you're traveling to a certain area, what hotels, what restaurants are good. But I find in airports, or if you're not prepared, if you haven't got snacks with you, you can be at an event or something and they're like, we'll have our tea and coffee and biscuits now and sandwiches. And you look and there isn't a single thing that you can actually eat there. So bring your own snacks with you to just be prepared for stuff. So just a little bit of preparation.
And are you confident in a situation like that to just say it? Oh, no, I'm celiac. That's why I'm not having them. If people are kind of thinking,
if it came up,
Marina,
I would.
No, a biscuit, would you?
Yeah, I would say it. Yeah. And if it came up but I wouldn't necessarily go and mention it if I wasn't. Asked, you know, but yeah,
but there's no hang up in that regard.
No, not at all. No.
And is your daughter diagnosed then as well afterwards?
Yes, but only in within the last year.
Okay,
and I suspect possibly she's been celiac also for longer than we thought, because her growth was just very slow. So again, no typical symptoms. And again, prompting from talking to friends who are doctors, that actually made me realise that could be the reason for it. So we subsequently, I did delay it a little bit because I felt she wasn't having problems and I didn't want her to be restricted. So, but eventually then we did get her tested and it was positive. And I have to say, she's coped with it really well. She's taken to it very well. She's actually better than I was. She look at the food labels for what she can eat, but also the may contains, and she remembers which ones she can and can't have. And if she gets given something at school, they were given some chocolates one day, she brought it home to get a check to see. So she's actually taken to it really well, I have to say. We've now got two sort of separate sections in our kitchen as well. So we have the toaster, air fryer, bread bin for the gluten-free bread, and then and the butter, I should say, the butter as well. And then the other side, we have the boys' section.
And if there's kind of cross-contamination, you don't really have massive issues.
I suppose you don't really know the longer term how it's affecting you in that way. If it's triggering the immune reaction, then it's still not good for your long-term health. My bloods, I've gotten them done then for monitoring every so often. They've always been okay. She's diagnosed too soon for us to have had any follow-up bloods with her yet.
Yeah.
Actually.
Sarah, because I know in some other households that cross-contamination thing is a much bigger issue. And maybe it's where they have kind of much more acute gut symptoms and things. And you often hear of kind of stuff being cooked in the same oven and...
So it's a bit of a difficult thing with celiac disease because it's genetic and there's a couple of different genes involved. So you will get about 40% of celiacs will be what I call the vomiting celiacs, that within about an hour of eating gluten, they are vomiting, diarrhea, really, really sick for two days. 60% don't get that, but the damage on the inside is exactly the same. So I'd always describe it as it's like being pregnant with morning sickness and pregnant without morning sickness, but you're both just as pregnant. And what we find is that the vomiting celiacs, they never eat gluten, so they get none of the long term. They don't get the bowel cancer, they don't get the osteoporosis. Whereas our non-vomiting celiacs...
That's interesting.
There'll be a bit more gluten in, they'll be a bit more relaxed about the cross-contamination.
I'm going to have this pint, I'm going to have a
slice slightly
of pizza.
Celiac, and you're like, there's no such thing. So unfortunately, whether you're... I know.
I'm looking at Marina here.
I hate breaking this to people, but yeah, the cross-contamination is very difficult because, you know, you can buy a gluten-free bread, you can buy gluten-free pasta, but then you're going, well, you know, even if you're at a hotel and they have sandwiches out there gluten-free, have they touched? Have there been crumbs dropped into them? It's that small.
I'm just thinking of examples of people I know themselves and they've got the two air fryers and the two toasters.
And they're so right.
And sometimes people like myself who you don't have this in the family or we don't, not yet, or we don't think we do. You kind of look and you think, are they being a bit uptight here now?
And I feel sorry for a lot of celiacs because people are like, have they just been uptight? And they're like, seriously, I would love to be able to eat the gluten. Please leave me alone. It's 20 millionths of your food. So if 20 millionths of your food is gluten, that is enough. And we can measure the immune reaction in the body when they have it. Even if they don't feel it, we can see it in the gut.
And then, so that's the most... effective thing you can do is just absolutely...
Just no gluten. It's the only thing, unfortunately.
Yeah, is it? Are there any medical interventions?
None at all.
There's
so
nothing.
We were only talking about this outside, actually. So, no, there isn't even anything on the horizon as a cure. What we have at the moment is there's a couple of medications going through trials at the moment to, for the people who get the vomiting, because it's horrific if they get it. And it's to see if they get do get gluten, is there a medication they can take that just stop the horrible kind of reaction they get? But we're still, every time I go to a conference on it, they go, oh, we're 8 years away. And then you go back 2 years later and they're like, we're still 8 years away. But there's nothing at the moment looking at a cure for it.
Yeah, it's like that thing they say about nuclear cold fusion,
yes,
isn't it? It's 10 years away and it always will be.
Yeah.
So, Marina, have you... I mean, the impact on your life probably hasn't been profound, has it? It's been just a change in behaviour is what it's had to necessitate.
A little bit more being prepared. You would feel you'd miss out sometimes. You'd love to be able to eat something or, you know, enjoy something or go to a certain place. Croissants is one. My son loves them and we have them at home.
And they're not gluten-free
really
croissants.
Like, well, there are, but they're really not the same.
Taste poxy,
I was in Malta recently. I got a lovely one. I said to the guy in the cafe there, I wish I could get these in Ireland, you know. So maybe the stuff is improving all the time, though. I will say that. You choices that I might have had 15 years ago, some of the bread, it's much better now. I remember the first time I ate a sandwich, after being diagnosed celiac, the first time I ate a sandwich that I didn't have to toast the bread to make it sort of edible. I was like, this is gorgeous, you know, really, really nice. So you miss stuff, but you really get used to it.
Yeah.
It's more for me, and it's different for people who have the really severe symptoms. And I hope I'm not saying something with the long-term effects later that, you know, that I wasn't stringent enough, but it doesn't affect me so badly. So I more just feel like I'd be missing out on certain things than that I'd really ever be too concerned or too worried about it.
Sarah, before we go, how trustworthy are the food labels? I remember there was kind of a story a couple of years ago about stuff being labeled as gluten-free and tests were done and it wasn't entirely.
So if it says gluten-free on it, it is. And it's actually very well looked after. And I know with the Celiac Society, we keep an eye on that and we link in with Food Safety Authority. We're fantastic on it as well. So they're actually pretty good. What you need to watch, if it says may contain gluten or may contain wheat, you do need to avoid it.
Okay.
Some foods may not mention gluten on the label and still have gluten in them. So common ones for that are lentils and a couple of other foods like that. So the Celiac Society do a food list every year. And that will give that detail out. And as part of Celiac Awareness Month, we've loads of stuff on our website, celiac.ie at the moment. And we've events tomorrow. We've one in Cornell's Court in Dun Stores as well tomorrow, if anybody wants to come along.
Okay. What's the website again?
Celiac.ie.
Celiac.ie is the website. Sarah Keogh is the dietitian and nutritionist with the Celiac Society of Ireland, and Marina Corrigan, diagnosed a number of years ago as well. Marina and Sarah, thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.